kind of interesting kind of how this morning came about. I want to talk about God as healer or God as healing. And with so many people out sick today, I think it's an appropriate message. I only wish that they were here this morning because I wish that we were able to pray for them here and lay hands on them and so on and so forth. And so kind of as we go through this, I think you'll see why. And before I get into that, I kind of want to start from a different angle and kind of talk a little bit about, I kind of have two themes I think that I want to touch on today. And the first one is that God is listening. And, you know, we have a lot of things in the church where we, you know, say this phrase specifically, that God is not a vending machine or God is not, you know, something to that effect, where we just go with all of our problems and then God, you know, miraculously heals all of our problems. And it's hard to say that that's not true, because it's not what God is about. We don't just go with a laundry list of problems and God just fixes all of our problems, and that's all God is. God is something more. We have a relationship with God. We're there to relate to Him. We're there to, you know, work with Him to further the kingdom, to see people saved, to preach the good news, you know, to heal people, to you know, be fellowship with one another, love people. And there's a lot more to life than just you know, just having God miraculously solve all our problems each day. You know, there's more to it than that. But at the same time, it's very important that we do have an understanding of I guess our right as children of God to go into His presence and to ask for things unashamedly and expectantly, not just kind of like half-heartedly hoping that these things come true. And so I want to look at a few passages that are kind of specific. Most of these are in Matthew. Well, actually, just a few are in Matthew. But in any case, if you want to, you can turn to, well, let's start with Matthew 8, and we'll go through a few verses here, and I'll kind of mention about a million other ones along the way, but Matthew 8 kind of shows the healing ministry that Jesus had. And what's significant about it is kind of just the progression of stuff that happens in the chapter as far as Jesus is stepping out into ministry, the Spirit moving in His life, and so on and so forth. So if you look in verse 1, it says that when He came down from the mountain, great crowds followed Him, and beheld a leper came to Him and flocked before Him, saying, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleared. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of that Moses commanded for proof to them." And so what happens here, you know, is Jesus comes down from the mountain. Obviously it says that's pretty clear right there. If you had missed it, I could say it again. But he comes, and there's this leprous man, gets healed, and Jesus tells him to go to the temple and to offer the sacrifice. There was, in the Levitical law, the sacrifice that was commanded of the Jewish people for when a healing took place. And if you kind of want to go into that, there's some interesting stuff about healing that you can look at there. As far as, you know, leprous people and sick people, even though they're faced with something that they're, you know, almost never likely to be healed of except for the power of God, God puts that provision into the law that says that, you know, if this happens for you, then you come and you make a sacrifice like this. And so it happens for this man that Jesus heals him, and so he's to go and make that sacrifice as is commanded in the law. And it just shows, I guess in one respect, just Jesus' respect for God's word in the past and how to approach what happened to this man. And so he goes and he gives glory to God. And, you know, it's very important, I think, for us to see that in this instance, that what happens is that there's glory given to God. And so when things happen in power, particularly if you want to talk about miraculous things and healing in nature, then it happens because of the Spirit, and it gives glory to God. What happens isn't something that a person gains for selfish reasons or that, you know, accredits anybody else. It happens, and God is the one who is seen as the healer. God is the one who gets the thanks. God is the one who gets the praise for it. And just kind of a little bit of just observation I want to make there. If you continue down in verse 5, Jesus heals a servant, and a Roman centurion comes to him. And so this is what happens there. And then it says that when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come over to him under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled at and said to those who were following him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. While the sons of the kingdoms will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping, gnashing teeth." And the centurion, and to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. And here, there's a lot going on. The centurion has an incredible amount of faith to approach it this way. And there's a lot of humility that's evident in the centurion when he comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house, but I need this to happen." And I think for us, we have times where we're very apprehensive about a move of God in our lives. And we distance ourselves and we say, "God, I don't really want you to come any closer right now. But still, this needs to happen. And I have faith enough for that." And so there is something, I guess you could say, to be shown about how God is willing to reach, to meet us where we're at in healing us or moving in our lives in any other area that you will. But even beyond that, I think what it says is that, you know, God has compassion, and God, I mean, Jesus obviously is impressed with this man's faith, or the man, you know, just assumed that Jesus would be able to heal him even without going there, just because of the authority that Jesus possessed. And, you know, we can take that same idea and translate it into our lives, and we can say that where God speaks, things happen. God has authority to change our lives in an instant, to do whatever it is that either we ask or that He wills. And, you have, you know, that centurion who recognizes this, and he just asks, you know, "Because of your authority, just say it and it'll be done." And I think that kind of faith is impressive, and I think it's a gift that not many people have, but I think it would be important to recognize it when it happens, you know, that there is an incredible amount of faith that he has, and because of his faith, is healed. And though it doesn't specifically talk about faith in this specific section, if you move on to the next section of verses, which is 14, Jesus heals Peter's mother, and it's kind of a brief story. It's actually not very interesting, but it says, "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. And then that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And I guess what's important here just is how much capacity we have at our disposal for healing through God. You know, Jesus goes, touches her, and she's healed. And then he spends the rest of this day just praying for people, laying hands on them, and they're healed just, you know, just like that. And diseases and spiritual oppression. I mean, you could also throw in emotional things that were happening to people. And any area of our lives where there is healing needed, Jesus is shown to be healing that. I mean, you have a lot of things. Like, you have a man at the gate, beautiful. That's Peter and John. But you have a lame man at the temple who's been there for, you know, ever, just waiting by the pool of Siloam. And Jesus says to him, you know, do you want to be healed? And he heals him. And, you know, so you have evidence of Jesus healing physical things. But you've also got, you know, the people being, having demons cast out. And then you have, you know, just his work on the cross as far as salvation goes. And so what you see then is that God is healing us all the time, constantly. There's evidence of healing in the Bible. And so this may not come as a shock. I'm sure you guys have read numerous stories about it. But what happens, I think, is there is a gap in our understanding about this. And it happens a lot. And if you hear people talk about healing, there's always this bridge that there, this apprehension, because there's so much about the spiritual world that we can't really understand, that even though we often pray for healing, it doesn't happen all the time. And even when, you know, we go before God and we make our requests known, they're not always answered the way that we expect. And so if you hear people talk about healing, they will always tell you that there are certain elements. Like, if you look, you know, in the passages here, you'll see that faith is an element. And so it's kind of like you have a question of whose faith is it that heals a person? Was it the person's faith of the sick person, or the person who prayed for them? Or did they both need faith? Or was it, you know, an issue of timing? Was the person just meant to be healed then and not 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later? And there are so many different variables that you could possibly look at to say that, you know, this is why healing happens to a certain person and not to another, and so on and so forth. But I want to take this in the context of some other passages that I think are really important to our understanding of, I guess, just the way that we approach God about healing and our understanding of Him in prayer, even. And so if you look at, like, Matthew 6:33, it's a very familiar passage, but it says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And there's a very similar thing in Matthew 7:8 that says that for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. And if you think about these in the context of prayer for whatever it is that we have in our lives that we want to see change, you know, it says that, you know, Jesus says that those prayers are answered. And I don't want to just say that they're answered, but I want to look, kind of, if you look at Hebrews 11:6, you don't really have to turn there either, because, like I said, I'm going to be jumping kind of all over the place. But, and it says that without in faith, it is possible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And what I want to get out of these passages is just the idea that God answers our prayers with good things. You know, there's the story that Jesus tells about if a friend comes to you at night and knocks on your door and asks for a loaf of bread because travelers just come into town. You know, and then there's the, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to you? And if you continue to ask the things that you ask for, God will give you. And I think that just really speaks about the importance of how much persistence is just kind of needed in approaching God. But there's also an element of boldness in that you must go before God and you ask for things that seem impossible. You know, for a man who's been blind from birth to be healed, you know, that doesn't happen every day. And to even expect that to happen has to come with a certain level of faith. It has to come with a certain hope in God for things that cannot be explained, that cannot, you know, really be reasoned. And I don't know that we really do that all that often. You know, I have a lot of things, you know, in my life that have kind of been like, well, you know, it's just something of a problem that I've had forever, and so I don't really see the reason why it should change, you know. And we kind of disqualify ourselves from receiving something good that God could give us. And, you know, it requires, you know, just a tremendous amount of faith to be able to tell somebody, for example, that, you know, I expect one day that I'm going to be healed of being blind. You know, how that happens, I don't know. When it happens, I don't know. But I believe that God can do it, and I believe it will happen. And so someday, you know, I'll stand before people and tell them that God healed me of being blind. And you know, there's been numerous accounts of it throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament, throughout history. And I think we would be exercising, I think, just some brashness and rather ignorance if we were to say that, you know, it's silly to ask for things like that with, you know, out and have no faith that they will really come to pass, because God has shown himself to be a healing God. God has proven himself throughout history. You can look at Hezekiah in the Old Testament, where he was kind of on his deathbed and God healed him of that. Or you can look at you know, many other instances. I mean, Isaiah talks about the healing that God will do when people turn to him. You got passages in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, it's all over the place. I mean, and so I think that one of the things that I want to convey to people today is to have faith to ask for what seems to be impossible, to what seems, you know, whatever is ailing you, I guess, if you want to put it that way, just whatever bothers you even. I mean, there is no reason to expect that God won't answer your prayer. There is no reason to expect that God would keep you in an uncomfortable state for whatever reason. There is a lot more reason to believe that God is a good God who heals people of things because they ask for it, because they ask for good things, because they want good things, because, you know, God is in the business of restoring people, to making people into the image that he originally created them to be. And, you know, I think that, you know, to live outside of that is to kind of live outside of our call as Christians, to live outside of our capacity as Christians even. You know, if you look in Acts, Peter and John, they go to the temple, and there's this crippled man lying there, and he asks them for some silver or gold. And they say to him, you know, that we don't have any silver or gold, but what we have we give to you. And they heal him. And that had to take a tremendous act of faith on Peter and John's part, because how do you, I mean, does anybody normally just like walk by a person that they see not feeling well and just tell them to be healed, and then, you know, that's normal for them? Does anybody, you know, have times where they just like hear about someone's trouble, pray, and it goes away? And or, you know, to see somebody unsaved and to just pray salvation and then it just like happens, to call down God's power from heaven. I mean, that takes a huge step of faith to do that. And then what ends up happening, though, is that we kind of test God. We challenge God when we do things like that. But, you know, those passages that say to seek the kingdom of God, I think they kind of testify to God's ability to hold up to his word, you know, to prove what he said is true. And so when you, you know, pray for things like healing, or when you pray for miraculous transformation in some situation, or you pray for, you know, anything at all that you see, you know, that you want to see changed, it can happen, because God always shows up to prove he's right. I think it just has to be that God is a big egotist, And so he sits around and so he says, "You don't think I can do it? I bet you $30 I can." And then he says, wait for it. Here it comes. Right now." And then, you know, everybody's really impressed with just how amazing something was to happen. But, you know, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He wants to heal us. He says that, you know, in his word. He says he wants to, you know, he does not want to see anyone perish, but he wants to see all saved and have eternal life. And you take that, you know, to the extreme and say, you know, God is a good God who wants to give us good gifts. And one of those is to be well, to be happy, to be joyful, to live without hindrance. And so, you know, there is a lot to speak of just kind of in the church and the kingdom of God that says that this should be happening more, that this should be evident more strongly. And, you know, you have this idea about the Word of God, and it says that, you know, wherever the Word of God is preached, the power of God follows. And so, you know, we speak it all the time. And yet, you know, I think we kind of sometimes don't really see that move happen as often as we would like. It takes, you know, usually like a special seminar or something before we finally are open to a move of God in such a way where things like that happen. But full life needs to be a place where we pray and we expect things to happen, you know, in a more regular way. And I don't mean to say that, you know, we're particularly doing a bad job. I mean, we pray for people every week. And things change. You know, we've seen a lot of people healed. I mean, Steve and Mari, we've been praying for you guys. And Ron and Shonda, we've been praying for you guys. And we do that a lot. And so I don't want to discount what has happened and say that that was not from God or that was not good or that was not enough and say that, you know, we're somehow failing as Christians because we haven't seen this happen. But what I do think is that we could step it up a level. That I think that there is an extra amount of boldness and faith that we could step out in. And that there is a, you know, a greater degree to which we can believe God, that we can challenge God and expect Him to move, you know, because we get ourselves into uncomfortable predicaments. I mean, if you look, we had this conference a couple of years ago at school that was talking about healing. And so we had people there. And, you know, they would talk about times where they would pray for people and things would happen kind of to be antithetical. Like he prayed for a person who was, you know, having a cold and suddenly they developed liver failure and, you know, things that just kind of seem to go the other way and they don't really make sense. But, you know, what happens though is that you kind of end up challenging God because you step out and you say something like, "I want to pray for healing for people," and so you have an altar call or whatever, and people come forward, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what to expect. You kind of just have to leave it in God's hands and say, "I want to pray for this person to be well. I want it to happen. I expect it to, but the only way it's going to happen is if God shows up and does something." And, you know, that takes a move of the Spirit to make it happen. So it's either God moves, or if when I pray for people today, nothing happens, then I just wasted, you know, an entire 35, 40 minute message and praying for people. And it just kind of makes things uncomfortable. I came across an interesting passage yesterday, and I want to see if I can find it again. I think it was in Matthew 13. I'm sorry, I didn't actually write it down. But what it says is that it's talking kind of about the parable of the sower and the seed. And what Jesus basically says is that if you hear the word of God and nothing transpires, the devil will come in and steal it away from you, and he will use it against you. And that's a powerful idea, because I think a lot of times we just kind of like, you know, we say things like that we just kind of let our witness stand and, you know, we preach the message, and even if people don't understand, we've planted seeds, and eventually they'll come to root, and so on and so forth. And I don't want to discount that either, as far as, you know, when we pray or when we speak and people don't respond, that happens that way. But, okay, so here it is in Matthew 13:19, and it says that, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside, or sowed the seed by the wayside. And so what I don't want to happen is for that to kind of be a norm. So if we come today and we look in Scripture and we see that God says that He's a healing God, and God is a healing God, then to go away and to not understand that, to not receive that, to not to believe that, that can be a very dangerous thing. And then if, you know, we pray for people and things don't happen, that can also be a very dangerous thing, because, you come to church services and you hear about healing and stuff, and eventually it kind of builds up. Even if at first you're skeptical, eventually you want to believe. You want to believe that this can happen, because, you know, we all have stuff in our lives that we want to see change. We want to see transform. We want to see different. We want to see, you know, completely altered by God in a miraculous way. We want to believe God is a God of miracles. We want to believe that God does amazing things that, you know, won't happen any other way, or that, you know, they just shock us to the core. They awe us and amaze us, and they cause us to worship Him. They cause us to kind of bow down in humility, recognizing how powerful God is. And, you know, so when we pray, we want that to be true. But, you know, when we pray and nothing happens, we turn away disheartened, disappointed, you know, upset. We lose faith if, you know, we come in and we pray and nothing happens, nothing changes. I don't mean to say that as a discouragement, you know, because like I said, there's so many variables involved in anything that we ask of God about whether or not it comes to pass as we ask. But I have to believe that the Bible is true, that what Christ said about seeking first the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you, and what Christ said about asking good gifts from your Father is true. And I have to believe that what God did in the Old Testament to heal Israel when it was broken and disheveled and scattered among the nations, or in the New Testament with the cripple and the blind man and the woman with the issue of blood. I have to believe that these stories are true, and I have to believe that what God has shown Himself to be in the past, He continues to be right now, and He will continue to be in the future. And so, you know, that kind of comes with challenges, because, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff today. I mean, you have the cessationist movement that happened, you know, many years ago, where people kind of said that the move of God is dead, the Spirit no longer moves, and the things that once happened in the early church don't happen anymore. And I want to challenge that, you know. I mean, there is very good reason to assume that God is still the same God of this book, because it says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's true, then, you know, God is still healing God today. God still answers prayer today. God still gives good gifts to people today. And so that's a measure of faith that I want to instill in you guys, that I want to, you know, instill in myself. I mean, you have, I have, you know, a certain amount of apprehension about even speaking this message, about what it is that God wants to say, what it is God wants to do. And if I have, you know, things in my own life that I haven't been healed of yet, how can I stand here and tell you this? You know, but I have a promise. I have the Bible that says that God is a healing God. Personally, there was a prayer that somebody spoke a year ago, a little more than a year ago, but they told me that God would heal me, and they didn't know about my situation. They didn't know, you know, what it is I was going through at the time, but I spent time in prayer, and I said, God, I want healing, and God answered through somebody, and He said, you'll get it. And so I expect today that if that's where we're at as a church body, where we want to see God as healing, where we want to see God as transforming, that He's listening to our prayers, and the prayers that, you know, are kind of out there that we only kind of, you know, just half-heartedly hope for, the things that we don't really believe in, like, you know, the fact that one day I'm going to be a 6'2 bronze world's strongest man competition winner. I think that, you know, we have those things to kind of go before God expecting. I mean, I didn't quite say that right, but kind of what I meant is, at least personally, I have, you know, very pale skin. I don't have pigment in it. And I could believe God for healing from my eyes, but I never really, you know, approach it thinking that one day I'll somehow have pigment in my skin. And I don't know that I will. I mean, I'll just kind of leave it at that. But I want to, I guess, just say in that I even though I can say this, I have an expectation of healing for certain things. I don't, I don't have it all figured out yet. I don't understand completely what it is God has planned for my life, and I don't know that, the things that kind of I still have yet to kind of think about. I mean, I never really thought it would be a problem for me to, be fair-skinned the rest of my life. But I always thought it was a problem that I couldn't see, that bothers me. And so I came to God and I said, I want to be free from it. I want to be healed. And He'll answer it. And I have faith for that. And so I guess kind of what I want to do today is I want to pray for people, and I want to expect that God is going to move. And I want to just remind you that God has said that He's listening to our prayers, that He said He'll answer them. There's actually another passage that I want to read often is in James 5. It's kind of a familiar passage as well. Nothing that I wanted to speak about today is particularly hidden, within Scripture. But it says that, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And just kind of what I want to show there is that God wants to heal us entirely. And so we kind of may have this apprehension that we did something this week that maybe means that we'll have to wait for it, or that now is not the time. But I want to suggest to you that God forgives sins. God heals people of their illnesses. God, restores the mind of people. He heals us in every way, and, for the things that we ask. And so, what I want to do is I want to have anybody who wants to come forward for prayer, and I want to pray for people to be healed today. And I want you to understand that it can happen, and not just kind of like in a maybe today, maybe not. I want you to believe that what God is saying He will do. And so that you could be up here, and maybe Max, if I could maybe ask you, I don't know why I'm imposed, but to have you pray for people as well. Or Steve, if one of you guys would mind. If not, it's fine. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable by asking you to step out. But I want to have it available for you guys to come up and to receive healing for what's in your life. And for the people that aren't here today, I don't want this to be a service where, we all go, oh man, you missed a great service. Or, oh man, you really should have been glad that you weren't there to listen to Michael drone on for a half hour. But I want this to spread forth from here. I want this to leave this room. I want the people who can't be here today for whatever reason to experience it. I want people around us to experience it in our jobs and school and wherever else we go. I want this to spread. I want people to see God's power. I don't think that's too much to ask. And so I'm stepping out to challenge God today to say, show up in power and to prove, what you've said is true. And I want you guys to kind of approach it with that same boldness, that same amount of faith that kind of is even a little bit cynical of God to, say, I got 30 bucks that says you won't, and then, oh God, 30 bucks. And so that's what I want to do today. So if you really, you want prayer or healing for anything, if you're struggling with sickness of any kind, or I even want to expand it beyond that, but I kind of want healing to be the focus of it, and I want to say that if you have something in your life that you want to be healed of, come forward and we'll pray. We've got the elders here and we'll lay hands on you and we'll pray. You can share if you want what it is, but you don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that we all have to see the dark side of what it is we struggle with before it can be healed. God will heal you no matter what. And so just come forward. We'll pray. And we'll be available for that for the rest of the service. And kind of as you go out this week, I hope that the faith grows inside of you to pray for the things that you want to see changed. And I know that God will answer those prayers. I know that God will heal the sicknesses that plague your body, plague your mind, plague your heart, plague your spirit. And And I hope that, you know, that you are able to step out beyond your satisfied that healing has happened to you, but to also want to see it happen to other people, to pray for them, and, you know, to seek God, because it is an important element to it, to kind of constantly have God on your heart about who to pray for and what to pray for when you do pray for healing. I mean, there is, you know, a significant aspect of the Holy Spirit involved here, to where He will reveal to you, you know, what it is that you are to pray. And so I don't want to discount that, or I don't want to leave you hanging. You know, the Spirit is with us always. He is our teacher. He's our comforter. And, you know, so when we step out and we do these things, I have to believe that the Holy Spirit is there with us to move in power to you know, to show us those things. So I think I'll stop, you know, talking with that and say, you know, come forward for prayer and expect that God will heal you, and have faith to pray for others that God will heal them.